As Simon mentioned, we're kind of continuing our series, or the series, looking at the seven signs of salvation. So you've got the banner here. Have you got the diamond? Has the diamond been stolen?
He took it.
He didn't trust you with the diamond. There we go. Well, that's okay. That's fine. Don't need that. You can all picture what a diamond is. We're in 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. We're looking at the idea of reconciliation. So just while you're turning there, so to 2 Corinthians 5, let me kind of get us back into this series. So at its heart, the Bible is one big story of salvation. And on Sunday mornings, you've kind of started this exploration, looking at the seven different sides. There's more, but we're looking at seven sides of salvation. And we've been comparing it to a diamond, because just as much as you admire a diamond, as you kind of turn it round and see the beauty of all the sides of a diamond, so just like that, for 7 weeks, you're holding up the beauty of salvation and kind of turning it round, enjoying all the aspects of salvation, seeing its depth and the weight of beauty. And the prayerful aim of this series is that in Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves, that perhaps some of you here might grab hold of that salvation for the first time. And for many of us here who are already following the Lord Jesus, actually this series really, the hope, the prayerful aim of this series is just that your hearts might delight in the salvation that there is in Jesus all the more. Just be refreshed by it. But also to be equipped to speak of this salvation to others, because that's what we're called to do. But we're in 2 Corinthians 5, going to read from verse 16. Let me read that to us and then I'll pray. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's on page 1162. Hopefully. Let's go. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let me pray, and then we'll have a think about those words together. Our Father in heaven, today, as we consider another side of the salvation that you offer to all in Christ, please would you reveal our sinfulness, that we might grab hold of the Saviour. Please cause our hearts to rejoice in your salvation, that we might leave here singing your praises. Help us, we pray. Please speak to us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger son went to his father and said, Father, please give me my share of the estate. So his father divided his estate between them. Not long after that, the younger son gathered together all that he had, set up for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Not long after that, after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country and he began to be in need. So he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here am I, starving to death. I know, I'll go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he had compassion on him, and he ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The younger son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to him, said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Probably a familiar story to lots of us. But isn't that a beautiful picture, isn't it? That is reconciliation at its heart, that story. And as we spin the diamond of salvation to another side, this morning I want you to catch sight of the beauty of reconciliation, the joy of restored relationship, the journey from separation to friendship, from hostility to harmony, the making of peace. Okay, that is reconciliation. And it's something the Bible says that we all need when it comes to our relationship with God. Like the younger son, we are all guilty of taking all that God has given and using it for our own pleasure. Living for ourselves, living life as if it doesn't exist. So often squandering the good gifts that he gives us on temporary pleasure that offers much, but only delivers emptiness. That's the story of our world as well, isn't it? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and all that he made was good. And humanity enjoyed relationship with God. He walked in the cool of the garden as Adam and Eve embraced the abundance of creation. And yet one day, they disobeyed God. One day, they grabbed for his throne instead. They warred against him. And one of the consequences of that treason was banishment. They were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out from his presence. And friends, that's where we still are today, isn't it? We live outside the garden, outside of God's presence, still separated from the warmth of God's presence. We're at war with God, and his anger at our sin remains on us. That is why we're in desperate need of reconciliation with our Creator. And so the question is, what can be done? What can be done so that, like the younger son, we feel the embrace and the affection of a father who we've deeply offended? Well, the Bible gives this answer. It says, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. If you've put your Bible down, please pick it up and look back at our passage again with me. Look at verse 18 with me. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now here's the amazing thing I want you to notice. To be reconciled to God is not a call for you to make amends yourself. Yes, it involves repentance, just like that younger son in the story kind of came to his senses and left, as it were, the pig squalor and went back to his father. It involves repentance. But even repentance, the Bible says, is a gift from God. But it's not as if to restore the broken relationship, we just need to kind of be good people, go to church lots, read our Bibles. You see, that's what the younger son thought he would do, wasn't it, in that story? Just make a plan. I know. I'll go back and say, let me just be like one of your hired servants. He's got a plan. He's got a speech prepared. He gets there and he goes for it. But no, the Father's got something much better in mind for us. And to be reconciled to God is simply to accept the reconciliation that he alone provides. It's all his work. Do you see how Paul emphasizes that? Verse 18, all this is from God. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself. Though we have wronged God, it is God who initiates peace. In our world, the onus is on the sinner to make amends. The onus is on the one at fault to put the relationship right. If Simon offends Jake again, our world would say, well, you've just got to go buy him a bunch of flowers or some box of chocolates or something. You've got to do something to make it right. And, you know, that could be a nice thing to do, don't get me wrong. But that in our world, that's what it is. You do something wrong, you've got to fix it. You've got to sort out the problem. That's why there are so many religions, aren't there, that are popular with people, because religion tells us, well, you've got to do something to earn the salvation, to earn the forgiveness. But when the Bible talks about reconciliation with God, though we are the ones who've angered him, though we are the ones who've damaged the relationship, it is God who initiates the peace. The call to be reconciled to God is not a call to put the relationship right. It is not a call for us to work for it. It is firstly a call to accept the reconciliation that God offers to us in Christ. Verse 18 again. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Reconciliation is only possible in Christ and through his cross. Look at how verse 21 puts it. It says, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. I'm sure you're already familiar with this, but in the Old Testament, all sinners would need to find an unblemished animal, normally a lamb. They would then place their hands on the animal and confess their sins over it, kind of symbolically transferring or imputing their sins to the animal. Then the animal would be put to death because it was bearing sin, and death is the consequence of sin. So the animal would die in the place of sinner, and the sinner would then be justified. They'd be reconciled back to God. They'd be declared righteous. Now we know when we get to the New Testament that as John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world away. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who bore our sins at the cross so that he could die the death we deserve. So that he would experience on the cross the full wrath of God, the separation that we deserve for our sins. So that all who cry out to him for salvation might be offered the hand of peace and would taste the joy of reconciliation. It is only in Jesus that our sins no longer count against us. And so we are righteous in God's sight, that we are justified. It is in the person and work of Jesus that God does everything needed in order to make reconciliation possible. And friends, all we need to do is accept it. To be reconciled to God is to accept his offer of friendship in Christ. Without Jesus, we remain separated from God with his wrath still hanging on us. With Jesus, we are reconciled to God. His wrath and sin removed as far as the east is from the west. After Jesus died on the cross, his disciples hid together in fear. But when he appeared to them after his resurrection, John records three times that Jesus says to them, peace be with you. Peace with God. The war is over. Like the father who embraced the younger son and lavished him with fine clothing and treatment, so too God lavishes his people with the righteousness and assurances that they are in Christ. This peace is ours in Jesus. Do you know that peace? Are you reconciled to God through Christ? And if so this morning, will your hearts just warm to that afresh? You bring nothing to salvation, to reconciliation, but your sin. And yet in Jesus, you are forgiven. Be reconciled to God. That is the first thing that we need to see from our passage as we think about reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. But for those who have been reconciled, yes, we want to delight in that. I encourage you to keep doing that, chewing over these things as we think about the different sides of salvation. Rejoice in these truths. But for those who have been reconciled, that's not the end of the journey. For there's a calling, there's a privilege that comes with being reconciled to God. And it is a call to be reconcilers for God. So if you've been reconciled to God, you are now reconcilers for God. Look at verse 18 to 20 again, and just see this aspect of it come through. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you see how he calls it those different times? Paul calls it a ministry of reconciliation, verse 18. A message of reconciliation. It says, we're now ambassadors. If you're a Christian this morning, you are an ambassador of Jesus. Now, in case you're not familiar with the term or what an ambassador is, an ambassador is a representative of his or her country in a foreign land. And as Christians, we are representatives of our King Jesus, who's in heaven, as we live now in this world as foreigners. And as ambassadors, I want to just highlight kind of two key responsibilities that we have as believers. The first of these responsibilities is to live out reconciliation. So we're called to live out reconciliation. As those who have been reconciled with God, the Bible tells us to be reconciled with others. It's odd, isn't it? If we've been reconciled with God, if we have peace with him, it'd be odd not to have peace with one another, because that's what Jesus has won. That's why in our passage, Paul emphasizes again and again that we've been reconciled together. So just verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry. It's plural. It's a together thing. We've experienced this and now we live this out together. And consider these words from Ephesians. So Paul writes in Ephesians this. It's an extended bit, but just listen about this together, how the peace we've got from God overflows in the peace we are called to have with one another. He writes, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in the flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Do you get his point? You have this peace, so live this out. You've been reconciled to God, so be reconciled with one another. That is what we've got to live out. That's what we've got to model to the world around us, so that as they see the reconciliation that is on offer in Christ, they might come to have reconciliation with God too. So let me ask this this morning, for those of you who are trusting the Lord Jesus, can I ask, as far as it depends on you, are you at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Whether that's those here in the room or others that you know. Is there anyone here or elsewhere that you need today be reconciled with? Remember the words of Jesus. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. We've got to model this as ambassadors of Christ to a watching world. We need to be champions of reconciliation. As those who have been reconciled, we need to live lives of reconciliation with one another. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is we've got to pass this message of reconciliation on. And to be clear, the message is basically point one. Or verse 20, it's to be reconciled to God. That is the message that Jesus has given his church to go out into the world to proclaim. And as ambassadors are given a message to pass on, we're not allowed to change the message. And we're not allowed to just decide whether we should do it or not. Ambassadors are simply given the responsibility and the privilege to declare the message of their leader and their king. But that's challenging, isn't it? We find this hard, don't we? Or is it just me? I feel this, the weight of this and the privilege of this quite often in my role as an currently outreach pastor, because it's constantly on my kind of to-do list. How are we equipping people to live on mission? How are we equipping people to speak this message of reconciliation? And then it puts the challenge back on me to think, well, how am I doing that? How am I, you know, I don't want to call people to do something that I'm not doing. But we're all called to this work. Now, I'm guessing this is nothing new, but we find this hard. Yet, what an incredible privilege it is. What a wonderful message we have to this dying world that they could be reconciled to their Creator. And when was the last time you took a risk in conversation to talk about the hope you have in Jesus? When was the last time the hope of a life reconciled to God outweighed the fear of rejection or awkward silence? Many of you would recognize the name Rico Tice. Does that name ring a bell, Rico Tice? Yeah, a few of you. He works at All Souls, and he's the face of Christianity Explored. He shares this cutting story of what he learned about loving others, or his lack of love. So this is when he was much younger, but he shares a story of sharing the gospel with a rugby teammate. He says this: I'd given a guy in the rugby team a recording of a sermon I'd preached. It was on John 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." I remember that in that sermon, I simply and starkly said that either we pay for our sin in hell, or the Lamb pays for us on the cross. Now, this friend called Ed played my sermon one night to all his housemates. That's pretty good, isn't it? And they were all part of the rugby team. And one of them, Dave, got very upset. He said, "If that's what Rico believes, the fact that he said nothing of it to me in months means that he's not really my friend." So Ed rang me up and said, "Rico, you need to speak to Dave. He's really upset that you've not talked to him till now about what's in the sermon." And then this is Rico's kind of reflection on that incident. He says, "If I'd really loved him, I'd have warned him about hell, shown him the cross, and invited him to trust Jesus and spend eternity with him in the new creation. It was a life-changing phone call. I found myself praying that I wouldn't only have a sense of God's love for me, but that I would have that same love for others, that I would love them enough to risk rejection in order to speak to them about Jesus and warn them about hell." Does that sound familiar? That kind of battle, that challenge? Let me ask you, who is your Dave, if I'm put it like that? Who is that person that maybe you've been praying for, but you haven't quite had that opportunity, you haven't made that opportunity to speak to them, and you think, well, do they know what I believe? Do they know the gospel? In the busyness of now, it's really easy to miss the obvious, to stand back and consider life and friendship in the grand view of eternity. Those who have been reconciled to God are made reconcilers for God. Friends, if you're trusting Jesus, you have a message to share. And it's good news. Don't forget that this is good news. This is the best news, that God cares enough about you and your friends and our world to offer reconciliation to all who would take the free gift in Christ. So as you head out to whatever this week holds for you, whether it's work, maybe school for some, to the shops, remember, you are ambassadors for Christ. You carry a message. And as we share the gospel, we can be confident that God reconciles. Lives are changed and God gets the glory. So we've spun this morning. We've spun again the diamond of salvation and once more caught sight of just one beautiful aspect of reconciliation. The joy of restored relationship. The journey from separation to friendship. From hostility to harmony. The making of peace. The fatherly embrace of a forgiven son. This is another image, the Bible gives for our salvation. For the Bible calls all of us to be reconciled to God. And for those he's reconciled, we're called to be reconcilers for him, announcing news of peace that is available in Christ. The Bible begins, as we saw earlier, the Bible begins with humanity kicked out of God's presence, banished, separated. But think about how it ends. For all those in Christ, wonderfully, the story ends back in the garden, back with God dwelling once more with his people for all eternity. And that is our great hope as we cling to Jesus and as we call others that we know to cling to him too. Let me pray. I won't take a moment just to reflect on some of that, and then let me pray before we sing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your salvation. We thank you for this aspect, this side that we've considered this morning, the beauty of reconciliation. Father, thank you that in Christ you warmly embrace us again. And we know we don't deserve it. We know we can't pay you back. We know we can't make that relationship right in our own strength. But thank you that you've done everything needed, everything that was needed to do that. Father, please warm our hearts with these truths. Lord, forgive us for being so quick to be cold at these things, to just think that we know it, these simple gospel truths, and yet we want to delight in it. Please, this morning, stir our hearts afresh. Help us to rejoice. Help us to praise you because the reconciliation we have in Christ. Because, Lord, if we're not excited by it, if we're not stirred and rejoicing in it, then, Father, how can we speak to the dying world? So, Lord, please grip our hearts afresh with this news, the good news of the gospel, the reconciliation that there is in Christ. That even this week, you might, as you've stirred our hearts, you might stir our lips to speak to those that you've put us amongst, that we might see others reconciled to you too. Oh Lord, please change us and please help us with these things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.